Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two right here on the Sports Grid Network. This is The Early Line. Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside here getting underway. It's time to flip the tables over to some NFL talk, which never disappoints. And when you start thinking about owners' meetings, can it be any more boring than talking about that? Not necessarily yesterday. Two things came up in these owners' meetings. Number one, Robert Irsay saying, hey, you know what? Get all the microphones around me. Yeah, Daniel Snyder, I don't think this is something we need to have around our league here. And maybe we should have a vote and move on from Daniel Snyder. Now, if we start there, Joe Ranieri, we probably could have three or four segments on what Daniel Snyder has done wrong over the past 25 to 30 years of him owning the Washington football team, the Commanders, whatever you want to call them at this time. But my goodness, it's about time somebody actually went on the record and said, yeah, something's not right in Washington.
We've known that for a long. That is the most, shall we say, the least surprising comment that we have seen. He basically said out loud what most people have been thinking for quite some time. But, you know, it cracks me up, Donnie, because if roles were reversed, you know, Irsay, when you got pulled over with a couple of prostitutes and, you know, a fifth of coke and some Oxycontin in your car, right? Uh-huh. Was anybody going, you know what, this league could be done? So, you know, those who live in glass houses probably shouldn't be throwing stones here, and that's exactly what he is doing. Although it doesn't make it wrong, he's not lying, they would, but telling a billionaire owner that I don't like the way you do business? He's a billionaire. He owns the damn team. Nobody is going to be able, none of these guys could tell one another how to run their business or how to handle their team. So it's funny to see it come from Irsay. It's not wrong, but good luck trying to force him to sell this team. I think that's going to be just popcorn, sit back, pull up a chair, Donnie, and watch them try and force Daniel Snyder, who, by the way, we're already learning is trying to find dirt on every other billionaire here in this league. I mean, this is the best reality TV we're going to get in years.
Yeah, he's got his own PI crew, his own dossier ready to go. So you say it's kind of interesting that Irsay speaks. Yeah, it's like, investigate me. Every one of my skeletons is already out in the open, so I'll talk as much as I need to now. Now, for the other owners who may be behind the scenes going, ooh, maybe we don't want to go down this path, we'll find out. But also, quick other notes there. Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft getting into it. I love this story because Jerry Jones can't stand Roger Goodell. The entire league votes one way, and Jerry Jones goes the other way. It's almost reminiscent of what Al Davis used to do to, like, Paul Tagliabue back into the day, and some of the other commissioners like Pete Rozelle. So something to keep an eye on there. But let's get back to the field itself. Russell Wilson not looking all that good in Denver, to say the least. Now a hamstring injury. Russ is built on creativity and mobility, and if that's limited, oh boy, Denver.
It's damage control is what it is. How else do you explain giving a dude $200 million who can't play? So now it's got to be the injuries, right? It was the deer antler spray last week on the shoulder that's no good, and the platelet injections and this and that. Oh, yeah, and now he's got a hamstring after he threw for 7 yards in the second half of that game again. How many more excuses are we going to come up with for the reality of the situation is that you bought a $200 million lemon? And it hits hard, Donnie. We've seen it over the years. Some guys, when they start to get up there, right, they've got a shelf life. Football players, quarterback, they got a shelf life. Not everyone is Tom Brady. The shelf life for Russell Wilson, that is some expired food you got going on there, man. That, unfortunately, you paid $200 million for. Don't hand me the injury situation. This is on you.
There you go. Well, welcome in the radio audience here, SiriusXM Channel 159. This is the Sports Grid Network. You are watching The Early Line on a Wednesday morning with Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside, moving through some NFL notes. The Ravens are going to fix all their issues, Joe, with DeSean Jackson.
Please. Okay, here's your issue. You ready, Ravens? You want to know what to do? Stop turning the damn ball over in the fourth quarter, Lamar. How's that? Will that work? All right, you want that contract. Don't tell me it's because you have a lack of weapons. It's because you become extremely careless with the ball in the fourth quarter. You can't possibly blow another double-digit lead, 6 minutes left to go in the game, and you turn it over twice in your own zone, giving the Giants the opportunity to beat you. And that's exactly what happened. But that's not the first time, Donnie, that you can't chalk it up to, oh, maybe it was just, you know, it's just bad. I can't believe it. It's now four games you have blown double-digit leads in the end because Lamar turns the damn ball over in the fourth quarter. Stop it. He's got all the talent in the world, Donnie, but he becomes reckless when they need him the most. That has to end. I don't care, DeSean. I don't care who you bring in. It's not going to change the fact if you keep turning the ball over late in games, you're not going to win.
Six games, six double-digit leads, 6-0. No, Joe Ranieri, 3-3 for the Baltimore Ravens.
There you go.
Some quick notes here outside or in the NFL. Also, Kenny Pickett actually going to start this weekend. Mike Tomlin said if he's cleared, Tua Tagovailoa also expected to start. So Sunday night football in South Beach, Steelers and the Dolphins. Some question marks at quarterback, might be getting cleared up a little bit later this week. And also, Carson Wentz down for a few weeks, heads to IR for the Washington Commanders. Heineke in line to start against those Green Bay Packers. But it's going to be time for our famous favorite game show here on the Sports Grid Network. Guess that closing line with Joe Ranieri coming up next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's time to have some fun here on The Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Joe and Donnie here on a Wednesday morning, shifting over to some NFL. Don't worry, there's no NFL games on tonight. There will be one tomorrow night, which, boy, oh boy, the preview should be fun tomorrow for that one. But Sunday's card is very good here, and this is a game show that we love to try to predict where these lines are going to end up. So let's start no further for a head-scratcher out there for some people. Rotation number 454, 1 o'clock start this Sunday, the New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars. How about this line? It's -3. Sure, favored for the New York Giants on the road. Not so fast, Joe Ranieri. They're actually a dog in this game. The Jaguars are laying the 3 a total in this game, currently sitting at 41.5. Joe Ranieri, could this line get pushed above a field goal for the Jaguars here, the under 500 Jaguars, or is late money going to push this below 3 or take the easy way out? 3 is a perfect line. Where does this end up?
Well, Donnie, this is the trap of all traps, guys. Listen to me. The books are begging you to take the Giants. They are begging you to take them, okay? This is the worst kind of dog that there is on a week basis here, Donnie. This is known as the public dog, which means the public is already all, they look at 5-1, on a dog on the road to Jacksonville, who last time they were a favorite was against the Texans and they could barely score 3 points. Yeah, this is exactly why you take Jacksonville. This line is not going anywhere, Donnie. It ain't going to 2.5. I don't think it's going to go to 3.5 because of the public dog status here of the Giants. They'll have enough volume to keep it right where it is here, guys. But understand, they're begging you to take the Giants right now.
Exactly. The FanDuel Sportsbook actually opened this up at a -3, currently sitting at a -3. And if you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and you hit the stats line below the Giants-Jaguars game, 86% of the bets coming in on the New York Giants, 81% also saying, points? I don't even need points. Give me the money line for those New York Giants. This should be one to keep an eye on here. How about this? 455, 456 on the rotation. 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. The Indianapolis Colts and Matt Ryan, who threw close to 60 times last week. And by the way, wasn't actually sacked a single time. Takes on the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill. This line opened up at 2.5. Currently sits at 2.5. Joe Ranieri, is this a cheap line for the Titans? Do we see threes, or is this game going to stay under -3 and give those Colts a legitimate look at beating those Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's interesting because the Colts that we got last week were not the Colts that we have seen thus far, right? You know, they dropped an awful lot of points last week. So, and listen, I think it makes sense. Matt Ryan finally got some healthy wide receivers back. They ran the ball very effectively. Listen, you're going to have a new quarterback. You've got some new pieces on that team. It was always going to take a little while for everybody to get on the same page. And I think we're seeing that, right? I think we're seeing the Colts starting to figure it out. Everybody had the Colts as the winner of this division, right? Everybody thought the Colts were going to be in for an amazing year. It didn't start out like that, but I think careful before we stick a fork in them here. I don't think it's over yet. They played really well last week, got the job done. I think they're going to play really well this week. I don't think this number goes to 3 here, Donnie, because I do think secretly we're going to see some Colts backing here in a dog spot. We're also going to see a ton of teasers with the Colts in them up and over, you know, to 8.5 there, passing through 3, passing through 7. Expect a lot of 6-point two-team teasers, including the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, no doubt about that, too. And also, just wait to hear, like, Jonathan Taylor's back in the fold this week. Maybe Nyheim Hines comes back. So maybe some extra advantages here for the Indianapolis Colts. But not a lot of respect there for the Titans at home, and should be rested and ready for this ball game. We'll keep it moving here. 459, 460 on the rotation. 1 o'clock kickoff also this Sunday. The Cleveland Browns and Jacoby Brissett are going to take on the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. This line opened up at a 6-point price here, -6 here for the Ravens. Now sits at a 6.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. The total at 45.5. Those Ravens, they'll be up double digits here, but can they close the deal? And also, do we see sevens, or is that just too much to say, man, we don't trust the Ravens with a lead. We'll take the points.
Yeah, it's tough here. Are they going to give, are they going to throw that key number of 7 out there? Are the books going to, are they not going to have a choice? Are they going to get it up there? I don't think so. As bad as the Browns have been, and they have been terrible, but the reality is the Ravens, who can trust them outside of, and pretty profitable first half bet guys with the Baltimore Ravens, let me just throw that out there, because they have no problem having a lead going into the second half of games in which they're a favorite. The problem comes in maintaining that. Listen, the Browns figure out ways to lose games like I've never seen before, but I don't think the books are going to push this up to a touchdown. I think it's going to stay right where it is here, Donnie.
You know what's interesting, too, about this Cleveland? The one thing you probably could bank on coming into the season, they thought they would get decent quarterback play out of Jacoby Brissett, enough to get Deshaun Watson back and still be formidable enough to make a playoff run. But I think the thing that we probably didn't see here is how bad the defense has been. You thought that defensive line would just collapse and crush pockets, a talented secondary. It hasn't turned out that way. Quick question for you on this game with Baltimore, because sooner or later, you know, Harbaugh is going to get through to his team. We have to finish games, which means we're up, let's just say, 21-3 on Cleveland. Let's not end this game 21-3. Let's end it 46-3 to sort of get those good vibes going back in the locker room. Any thought process behind that? Because Baltimore doesn't have a great defense by any stretch. Cleveland doesn't. Is this one of those games where you might be looking towards like almost like a Ravens team total where eventually enough is enough and we just have to put teams away by not just running the clock out on them?
Yeah, they have to. They absolutely have to. figure out ways to stop turning the ball over late in games and shooting themselves in the foot, because they have inexplicably, they should have won the Bills game, should have won the Miami game. They should have won the last week against the Giants. There is absolutely no excuse for what's happening, because, Donnie, it's not a talent issue. It's a head issue. It's above the shoulder issue right now. And Harbaugh, take your time trying to address this. To me, right now, Lamar Jackson is a first half bet and a first half bet only. 2-4-1 against the first half number. ATS this so far here against his own division. So he has been absolutely profitable to bet early and often. And I do think, I mean, he's a 65% clip ATS over his career in the first half. The problems always come with the adjustments in the second half on what they do to him. So until further notice, it's strictly a first half Baltimore Ravens bet for me.
Baltimore Ravens the rest of the season here. If we take a look at the AFC Championship odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, the Buffalo Bills are a plus 155 price, and rightfully so. I do believe they're the best team in the AFC, but you are getting, not to win the Super Bowl, to win the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens at a 9-1 price. You can argue they probably should be 6-0 on the season, and that number would be far less. Is there any trust still left in the Baltimore Ravens, or is just this the blueprint where they're not going to get it together? If you blew three games already, you'll probably do it down the line also.
And they got to run the ball. They got to be able to run the ball. You got to stop figuring out ways to give Lamar Jackson's opportunities to throw the ball to the other team. They got to establish the run. Dobbins now back. They need to get a little healthier there, but I think they'll be fine once they go back to doing playing Ravens football here in the second half. But we just haven't seen it.
No, we certainly haven't seen it. Hopefully they will do that. The Ravens, who have a track record for being a good, pretty good football team, we'll see how that ends in the 2022 season. But if you're enjoying the game show, get ready next as we go to door number three. You know who's behind that? I don't know either. It's the Panthers. Good luck with that. Boom. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, flying through hour number two right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. This is the early line. It's Joe and Donnie in the morning. And today, 461, 462, a precursor to Sunday's NFL card. That is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers setting the stage for this game, opening up at 10, now sits at 10.5 as a heavy favorite for the Bucs. You might say to yourself, what are you kidding me? Have you seen the Buccaneers play? They shouldn't be laying double digits to anybody, but I'm here to tell you the Carolina Panthers, Joe Ranieri, they're just not anybody. Tell me this line ends up around 14 by game time, and I will not be surprised.
Oh, listen, I hope you guys got it at 10.5, because, again, that was the first bet I made on Sunday. And I'm Donnie, I think 11.5, 12s. Are coming into play here before it's all said and done. And I still like it, because I still think this is a minimum of a 2-touchdown win. This is a hot mess, guys. The Panthers offensively just about the worst team that we have seen in a long, long time. They're averaging 8 minutes less per game time of possession than they did just 1 year ago. And do you remember how great they were a year? No, they sucked last year, and they suck even worse this year, which means the defense is out on the field, Donnie, 8 more minutes a game than they should be, at least than they were 1 year ago. The number is very simple, Donnie. You and I were just talking about some team totals here. We know with this Panthers team currently constructed, 1-28 straight up, 5-24 against the number if the team they're playing scores 17 or more points. 17 is the number. This is since 2020, guys. You're going to tell me Tom Brady ain't scoring more than 17 points against this team? You think this defense ain't got... The total is 42, Donnie. Think about the low total that we've got here, in which Tom Brady has feasted on these kinds of low totals over the years I don't think it's close here, Donnie. It's got 30, you know, 30 to 10 written all over it when it's said and done.
It really does. And, like, the offensive challenges that Carolina will have. They tried last week to go, you know, sideline to sideline and hope their wide receivers or running backs broke long runs. Then your quarterback, who wasn't playing all that well anyway, gets injured with a concussion and a neck injury. They don't know who's going to play quarterback. No matter what option they have, it's certainly not going to be a good one here. Looking forward to a blowout here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A get-right game. Hey, look, Tom Brady went to a wedding without a date. You think his life is upset right now, and he's upset.
Yeah,
he's going to take out some frustrations here on those Carolina Panthers. Next up here, 463, 464 in the rotation, the Green Bay Packers and the Washington Commanders. Heck, this line was actually 5.5 to 6.5 when it opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Carson Wentz announced he will not be playing due to a broken finger on his throwing hand. Insert Taylor Heineke. And now this number is at a -4.5. And the betting public goes, good. Wentz is out. Put anybody else in there, and I'll take those Commanders. Or is it a fact of the matter is, what the heck is going on in Green Bay? Joe Ranieri, 4.5-point line. Where is this one ending up on Sunday?
Well, yeah, you know, all of the numbers are fantastic for Aaron Rodgers in this kind of bounce-back situation, right, after they got bulldozed by the New York Jets in Lambeau Field, of all places. Yeah, I mean, all signs point it should be an easy bounce-back for Green Bay. But whoa. Have you watched Green Bay play? This is about as mediocre a team as I have seen in a long time. You know, usually great quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, they can take mediocre teams and elevate them, right? Where it's noticeable, where even though they might be surrounded by a bunch of mediocrity, Aaron Rodgers makes them that much better. That ain't the case this year. In fact, the players around him are so terrible offensively, there's not a whole lot he can do to elevate this team. And here we are heading into week 7, and this team at best is .500. It's got mediocre written all over it. And I'll say this, though. For whatever reason, backup quarterbacks for Washington have been money since 2019. 7-2-1 against the number in the last 10 games in which had to be started by a backup for this Washington squad here. Would not shock me at all if they get a little bit of a boost. They're more talented than they've played. Maybe Carson Wentz was the issue here. We're about to find out.
Yeah, and also Randall Cobb, not to be confused with Randy Moss, is probably not going to be playing this week either for the Green Bay Packers. So the offense gets a little bit more challenging here. Now, when we're talking about challenging offenses, certainly you can point to the Denver Broncos. How about this game, 465, 466 on the rotation, 405 kickoff this Sunday. The New York Jets, who have receipts on everybody right now, are coming to town to take on the Denver Broncos. Russ, is it your shoulder that hurts? Is it your hamstring that hurts? But I'll tell you right now, this line opened up at -4. Now sits at -1.5. I wonder where this line goes if Russell Wilson has to sit out with that hamstring injury. The Jets coming to town. The Jets could be 5-2 after this game. Where does this line end up, Joe Ranieri?
Yeah, I mean, what are they? 1.5 wins away from hitting their over season total of wins. I mean, it's kind of crazy here, guys. Russ, I mean, how many more times are we going to watch the Broncos and go, oh, yeah, no, they're going to turn it around. They're going to, you know, every game that he plays in which he falls flat on his face, we're hearing about a different injury. He's got a hemorrhoid. He's got an ankle. Mm-hmm. It's a quad. It's a spasm. How about you just suck? How's that? Okay. Especially on short rest, Donnie. 2-8 against the number here since 2019 for Russell Westbrook. He's playing like a Russell Wilson when they have short rest. So he is not a guy that has done great. Monday night, now to Sunday. So he's going to be on short rest, not the usual workload. Not good for Russell Wilson in his career. I do like the under, though, Donnie. I'll tell you that. 40-22-1, 65%. Since 2015, backing anybody who plays at Mile High here in Denver, back the under in the game. That's where I'd be looking as well.
two very good pass rushers going to be getting at it, after it in that football game. Mm-hmm. Something to keep an eye on. The national game, spotlight game, 425, Sunday afternoon, 469, 470 on the rotation. Kansas City and San Francisco. Patrick Mahomes losing two in a row here. Could be. They actually opened up at FanDuel, a -1.5-point favorite. That's now 3, and also a total of 47.5, up to 48.5. It sounds about right here. Kansas City last week with the loss also. San Francisco goes and gets bewildered against the Atlanta Falcons. They're looking to bounce back, but it's hard for the public to sit back and say anything around a 3-point number with Kansas City, I'm going to take. Where does this line end up? Could we see it above 3.5? Or do you see some buyback here on the 49ers that puts this down around that 2.5 level?
Don't think the money is coming back in on the 49ers here. I do think it will go towards the Chiefs, and mostly because that defense of San Francisco is so banged up. Wait to see the injury report, guys. They looked like a team last week on defense, Donnie, that has never played with one another. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Most of those guys never have played with one another there. They've lost significant pieces in the secondary. Bosa was ruled out. They have injuries up and down in the linebacking crew. They are a mess when it comes to injuries right now, the 49ers. I think that Kansas City is going to get a little bit more push here. It may eventually come back, but I do think this line hits 3.5 at some point before Sunday.
Looks like it. If you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and check out the stats of who's betting this game and why, 85% of the spread bets coming in on Kansas City, 86% on the money line, also on the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's keep moving down the list. Sunday night football down in South Florida, Pittsburgh and Miami, rotation number 473, 474, 820 kickoff. Both of these quarterback situations to be determined. But if we're looking at the sports books here, particularly with FanDuel, a -7 is out there. We're expecting Tua Tagovailoa, who was cleared of concussion protocol, to play this Sunday night. We also saw Mike Tomlin say if Kenny Pickett, who is progressing through concussion protocol, if he is cleared, he will start Sunday night. If not, you would get Mitchell Trubisky. The total in this game, 45.5. This seems like a pretty solid line, not knowing which quarterbacks are going to show up here, Joe Ranieri. Does this line end up right around 7, or is there going to be a buyback here on the Pittsburgh Steelers to get them under a touchdown with Tomlin and company?
Never going to happen under a touchdown here. It's going to either stay 7 or creep a little bit more in the Dolphins' favor once the reports of how Tua looks come out of Miami. But here's the problem I have with Miami right now is what happens when Tua gets hit? Is the spotter calling down and saying, get him off the field? Are they taking anything? I mean, if he gets up slow from any one particular hit, what are we getting? And I worry about that all of a sudden Teddy Bridgewater is going to be thrust in. And this might happen for the rest of the season, Donnie, where these spotters, if he even remotely looks like he hit the ground hard or hit his head at all, he's gone. And then we got to deal with Bridgewater or Skylar Thompson or whoever else they may sign there. So Miami should win this game, should bounce back, but that worries me right now with the Tua situation and how over-ridiculously protective they're going to be with him, whether it's warranted or not.
Yeah, that's the question mark there, because also is the offense going to change from what we saw earlier in the season to get the football out quicker to sort of limit that damage? As we know, Tua Tagovailoa is a very good athlete, and also Russell Wilson-like, where you buy that extra second or two, take the hit to get your wide receivers maybe a little bit more separation. So certainly, as Joe says, something to keep an eye on here. Now, keeping an eye on Saturday, college football is banging this weekend. Mm. It is going to be exciting, and we're going to cover that next. So flipping over from gridiron to gridiron, make sure you stay right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Excitement all over the place in the NFL. Yeah, we just played a great game show there of where some of those lines would end up. We're going to flip it over and talk some college football here on a Wednesday morning right here on the grid. There are some really good games, top 25 impacts. And by the way, it's week 8 in college football. It was week 0 just yesterday. Hey, guys, slow down. Slow down. Don't speed up football season for us here. But there are some interesting topics before we get into a few games this weekend. Let's take a look at the season as a whole. Joel Ranieri, NCAA football championship prices at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Ohio State, plus 170 to win it all. Georgia, plus 190. And how about this as a pop-up here for the people? Alabama, who, yes, lost last week, 4-1 price, good for third in the odds. Clemson at 12-1, Michigan at 16-1, and Tennessee, after beating Bama to stay unbeaten, is at 20-1. Looking at these odds, any surprises or any ways that you would like to go and say, you know what, that price sounds good, I'll take this.
Well, I mean, listen, they, you know, it's so interesting, too, because the teams up at the top of this board still have monster, the most difficult parts of their schedule still to come here. I mean, Alabama, yes, they lost to Tennessee, but they've got plenty of time to recover because they are eventually, you know, and I know this is all going to come down to an SEC championship game, which leaves me to Georgia, who still... if they run the table right now, congrats, Georgia. You deserve to be number one, right? Ohio State, you still got to play Michigan, Ohio State. Those two guys will figure it out, right? One of the two is going to be there. The reality is, I think of the top five teams, they all in many aspects control their own destiny here. Do they not, Donnie? Hey, win out, Ohio State, and guess what? You're in, right? Win out, Georgia, you're in. And then everyone else can fight for that final spot there. I think Ohio State is going to exact some revenge on Michigan. I think the love for Michigan is going to be over the top. They're going to be completely overvalued. So I do think Ohio State, of all those teams up there, three SEC teams, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee here, I'm sorry, they're going to devour one another before it's all said and done. Ohio State's going to be sitting there. If they beat Michigan and win out, it's all theirs as the number one seed.
Agree. I certainly agree with that as well. And we're going to look to that big game at the end of the season between Ohio State and Michigan. That's going to decide a lot of things in the national championship picture. Heisman Trophy odds quickly here. C.J. Stroud at a plus 100. Certainly a correlation there with how good Ohio State is at this time. Hendon Hooker comes in second here in the odds market at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 440 price. He has been, I don't want to say plummeting each week, but the 80-1s to the 40-1s to the 20s, and now to the plus 440. And I've said it all along. I don't think it's going to happen. But if Tennessee runs the table in the regular season, I don't care if C.J. Stroud threw 700 touchdown passes this season. I just would give it out a Hooker to say, my goodness, Tennessee, you really outdid yourselves. Caleb Williams, 9-1. Now, you also saw USC did take a loss, but his numbers certainly astronomical as well. Blake Corum, keep an eye on him. 4-5 touchdown opportunities a weekend can certainly put you in that picture. How are you looking here for the Heisman Trophy and some of these odds that are showing up at FanDuel?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no doubting Hooker needs to be in the conversation here, but there's still a lot that needs to happen in order for us to be able to get there with him. And I'll leave it to Stroud. I think Stroud and these guys here are certainly going to be able to rack up a ton of stats before it's all said and done. And I do think that heading into that final game there against Michigan, if they're the number two, number one team, and then they run the table, I think Stroud is the clear favorite here to win this thing when it's all said and done.
It should be fun. Hey, it's coming. We're almost into November, and I keep saying that, too. It's like it gets exciting. Like, ooh, the end of the season, you get into the college football playoffs, the Heisman, everything that comes along with that. And then you say, like, no, slow down here. Let's have a couple more weeks to enjoy this, and we certainly will have that. Let's get into some games on Saturday. 12 noon start here, 327, 328 from the Big Ten. That's Iowa and Ohio State. Opening number in this game, -21.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, 28.5 total, 56.5. And you usually see Iowa up there. You say, yeah, I don't buy that. And most of the betting public certainly didn't, as that now sits at 49.5. Ohio State is in that interesting predicament where They do need to run the table to make it in, obviously. But if they do lose to Michigan, it's going to be on the balance of power of what you've done to teams throughout the season. Do you look at that as sort of a betting indicator where Ohio State can't afford to say, hey, we're up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter late, we're inside the 10, let's take a knee, because people will look back and like, ah, you only beat them by 14 and not 21 points. Because looking at that 21.5 to 28.5, that seems like a factor. Can Iowa put up a fight here in the Big Shoe, Joe?
Let me think. No, absolutely not. Not even remotely close, Donnie. This is going to be blowout written all over. Now, there are going to be some that say, hey, on deck for Ohio State is Penn State. And Penn State always gives them fits, right? It's going to be a whiteout situation there. I don't think they care. I really don't, because Penn State giving up over 400 yards on the ground last week, that number five, vaunted run defense. Yeah, no, they got exposed by Michigan. They'll get exposed by Ohio State. I don't think they're worried at all. I think they're on a mission. And I think that Iowa, who would be lucky, I think, in this game to score 14, 17 points. I don't even think they get there. I think this game is over at the half. And I don't think they take their foot off the gas at all here. The number 28.5, yeah, I understand why, but you got to be kidding me. This has got 48 to 14 written all over it here, Donnie. I see no reason why Ohio State doesn't win this game and win it convincingly and even cover it.
And also having a Heisman Trophy quarterback here that you certainly want to win that award, you sort of say, stay out there an extra two series. Get those extra two touchdown passes here. So something to certainly keep an eye on. And I got to tell you, this next game, 353, 354 in the rotation, Syracuse-Clemson. Even though I understand what their records are, 6-0 and 7-0 repeatedly, I have to keep going back to that Syracuse schedule and go, it's got to be a loss in there somewhere. This team can't be undefeated, because Dino Babers was basically a walking, you know, dead man there on his contract. How much you going to cost to buy him out? What a mistake bringing him over. We thought the offense in this team would be much better, and here they are unbeaten. But how about this? Traveling down to Clemson, 13.5 as an opening line, it's still sitting at 13.5. That over-under opened up at 56.5, now sits at 49.5. Clemson, obviously more talented, but something is brewing at Syracuse here with an unbeaten season, not getting a ton of respect at that number being around 14. What do you see from this weekend's game? Noon kickoff here between these two.
Listen, Syracuse, it's been great, but stop it. You're not. You're so overrated, it's disgusting here. And again, you can only play who's on the schedule and all of that, yada, yada, yada. But please, be realistic here. You're going in now to Clemson here, who has had an interesting schedule so far, haven't they, Donnie? They've had to go through Wake Forest, NC State, Boston College, and Florida State all within the first month or so here. So they've kind of, their biggest threats in the ACC, they've already played and they've handled, and now they get to take on a Syracuse team that is playing way above their heads. And at some point, this game could get ugly. That was not a 34-28. That was not a close game, despite what the final score tells you against Florida State. Clemson was never in jeopardy in that game of losing it. It was a foot off the gas kind of situation there, which allowed Florida State to get back into that. I think Clemson rolls here. I think it's back to reality for the Syracuse Orangemen. Hell of a season thus far. Congrats. But it's back to reality against Clemson this weekend.
Bowl eligible Syracuse Orange here already. How about that? 375, 376 on the rotation. Pac-12 special. UCLA going to Altman Stadium to take on the Oregon Ducks. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -4.5 price. Now sits at -6.5. May raise a little bit of an eyebrow saying, whoa, UCLA not used to losing this season. But also, take away Oregon's drubbing opening day. They've actually played some very good football as well here. Unbeaten UCLA, Oregon looking to take that Pac-12 mantle. Should be a good one, but maybe a little bit surprising on the number sitting there at 6.5 right now.
Yeah, listen, I'm impressed with what Oregon has done. Give them credit, right? They got crushed with Georgia in week one.
Yep.
And they are amazing. They've come back and they've won, what, 5 straight? They've covered 4 out of 5 of those. This is the Bo Nix special here. But I think the problem and the difference in this game with UCLA is they are coming off You know, they're coming off a situation in which they're going to be ready for this. They're on the road, but it's the physicality that UCLA is going to bring to this table. I know they've been trying to preach that over at Oregon, but they're not quite the physical team they want to be. Oregon's going to want to be UCLA physical, except they're not. So I think UCLA and that physicality and that running game, much like what Georgia did to them in game one, I think that's what we're going to get here in this game. They're not going, they're going to get pushed around. They pushed around just about everyone they have played so far, UCLA. They pushed around a darn good Utah team. And even Utah, after was like, you know, we got our butts whooped here, and they usually do it. So I think UCLA runs over Oregon here.
There you go, 379, 380 this weekend. One of the teams that teams are getting nervous playing now, the Texas Longhorns, because they have Quinn Ewers back in control. 6.5-point favorites on the road in Stillwater to take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys here. 61.5 is a total. This is one of the teams, we're talking about the Texas Longhorns, where if you want to expand the playoffs, this team is the team that probably would benefit the most, already having a few losses, but getting their quarterback back. Now, they probably would have to run the table to be in that conversation. But some quick thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma State here, Joe.
Line opens at 4. It's now 6.5, guys. What does that tell you? It tells me that a double overtime loss on the road against TCU has taken its toll on this Oklahoma State team, because the injuries, Donnie, from what I'm hearing, are unbelievable, especially across the offensive line of Oklahoma State. There were questions last week about the health of Spencer Sanders. If you noticed, not a whole lot of running and moving around. Mobility with a shoulder issue, a bit of a problem and a concern for Oklahoma State. But when I got the backups back up, protecting him now on the offensive line against that front seven of Texas, that's a real defense. That's a top 10 defense there for Texas. Yikes. This could be a very long afternoon for the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And it pains me with my alma mater, but the reality is it's a bad spot for them right now.
There you go. We'll see what find out there. And also what Ewers has to deal with here quickly at Mississippi State and Alabama. Alabama favored by 3 touchdowns here after a loss last week. You know Nick Saban is going to have the ear of that football team, a total of 60.5. But Will Rogers and Mississippi State, no slouches. We'll see how that one plays out. But again, on a Wednesday, Joe and Erie rising and grinding with us here on the early line. Joe, thanks so much for that, man. You did a good job today.
Oh, thanks so much there, Donnie. I appreciate it. And by the way, Alabama by 50 in this game here. They couldn't beat listen, Kentucky held them to under 300 yards of offense on the road. What's going to happen here, Mississippi State in Birmingham? No, good. Give me Alabama. I'm all over it.
There you go. Joe Ranieri, a titan in this business. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be right back to talk. Listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here on the early line on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Joe and Donnie here in the morning, 7 to 9 a.m. as always, carrying you through until we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after and the rest of your Sports Grid day. A lot going on. You guys know me. I'm a Philadelphia fan as a whole. Sixers took a loss last night. Okay, could probably deal with that a little bit. Why? Because those Philadelphia Phillies are up 1-0 in the NLCS over the Padres, and they play today, this afternoon, so I'm certainly looking forward to that. But also, the NBA got underway last night, and the NBA is a star-driven league, and the stars came out to shine last night. Listen up. Superstars in the fold, that's what the NBA gives you. Now, granted, every other league does have stars, but nobody focuses and produces and puts out there more production on their superstars than the NBA. If you take a look at the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics, star-studded affair. Same thing late night with the Lakers and the Warriors with the ring ceremony out there. If we start with the Sixers here, James Harden, 35 points, star in the NBA. Joel Embiid, same thing, superstar in the NBA. But also, taking a look at the Boston Celtics, tumultuous there in the offseason. Coach not coaching this year, Ime Udoka, suspended for a full year. We don't even know if he's coming back to the Celtics organization. But also, when you take a look at Tatum and Brown, 35 points apiece, two young superstars in the NBA, and don't even get me started about the late game. Now, it was a blowout into the third quarter, but you're taking a look at LeBron James, Anthony Davis, both playing well at this point, Russell Westbrook, an aging superstar, still dropping 19 points, and then maybe the deepest team in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, even Poole with the big money. And by the way, how about next year's tax bill there for the Golden State Warriors, approaching $450 million? Why can they afford that? Superstars! Everybody's making money, including the owners in the NBA. It's going to be a long season and a long, fun season as well. Can't wait to see that 12-game slate tonight. Well, that'll do it today for the Early Line. Stay tuned once again for the morning after, coming up next.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.